Thank you.
Back in my 20s, I lived in Berkeley, California for about 5 minutes. And one day when I was walking down Telegraph Avenue, one of the main thoroughfares in the area, I came across a very large punk rock guy who was standing outside of a shop, and he was holding electric hair cutting shears, and he had a sign that said, "Free haircuts, mohawk or skin." And as I was taking this whole thing in, a little boy came running up and he had a mohawk haircut. And he said to the big punk, he said, "I just showed my mom my hair." And the big punk said, "Yeah, what'd she think?" And the boy said, "She hated it." And they both laughed, and the big punk said, "Yeah." Then they gave each other high fives and they were having a great time. And I just kept walking along, minding my own business. I've kept this little tiny anecdote in my little mental pocket all these years, and every once in a while I pull it out and think about it because it makes me feel good. I appreciate it for what it is. It's a small, good thing. My life was a mess. I had just survived earthquakes. I'd survived riots, violence done to me and my friends. I had lost my job, and then someone borrowed my car and hit a couple pedestrians who thankfully survived, but the car didn't. So, logically, I decided while sitting there one day feeling sorry for myself that what I had was a medical issue. This didn't make any sense, but this is what I was going with. So I started, even though I'd lost my job, I still had insurance for like one more month or something. And so I started calling around some local general practitioners I found on a list given to me by my former workplace. And there was a doctor who could see me almost immediately in Glendale. And so I went over. And the minute I walked in this office, I saw that it was full of women and teenage girls. And it wasn't that fact, but it was the fact that they all turned and stared at me. I knew I was in the wrong place. But when I went to the nurse at the desk and I signed in, she signed me in like nothing was wrong and didn't ask any questions. So I sat down and I waited, and eventually the doctor came out and he called my name. And when I went in his office and we sat down, he had his desk and me right in front of it. He asked me, how had I found him? Because he was a gynecologist and he didn't know if he'd be able to help me. And I was confused, he was confused, but he was a very kind man. And he was laughing, and so I tried to explain to him what was going on with me and how I had decided that I had a medical issue. And he said, "I think the best I can do for you is to take all your vitals, and then we'll just go from there. And so he did. He checked out my blood pressure and listened to my heart, and he said I sounded good. Everything seemed okay. And so after speaking a little bit more, I left. I said thank you. He wished me well. I went home, and I felt better. About 6 months later, I was at home when I received a phone call that was really good news. I was going to join a band in Texas, learn some songs, and go tour. And for the first time in a very long time, I was feeling optimistic. And I was excited. Mere moments after that call, my phone rang again. This time, it was my gynecologist.
Hello?
And he was calling just to say hi and ask how I was doing.
Hello, are you still crazy?
Now, I hadn't expected this. I never thought I'd hear from the guy again. But he'd taken the time in his busy schedule to call his one male patient to check in on him. And so I was so flushed with all the excitement from this new band thing that I told him all about it. And he was excited for me. He was happy. And he wished me well on the project. And then we hung up and never spoke again. But I'm never gonna forget how sweet it was that he rang me up just to ask how I was, because he'd been concerned. Well, I just thought that was really kind. And kindness is worthwhile.
Oh, happy day. Happy day when Jesus wore.
When Jesus wore.
When Jesus wore.
When Jesus wore.
When he wore.
When Jesus
washed. You washed my sins away.
My wife Tiva and I had driven across the United States from New York to Los Angeles. This is just 3 years ago now. We'd driven across the states with our dog Hugo, a 60-pound pit bull mix, who's just a sweet gentleman. But anyway, we got all the way out to California to spend time with my family during a particularly difficult time, and we brought the car and the dog so we could spend as much time out there as we needed to. And after about a month of dealing with many heavy emotional issues, and we decided it was time to drive back to New York. So we did, and the first day was not a problem. We got to Arizona, spent the night. And then the next day, we're driving to Santa Fe, New Mexico. We're on Interstate 40, the southern route. And, you know, Santa Fe's a little bit further. We could have stayed in Albuquerque, but we were planning on relaxing in Santa Fe for a couple days because we were just drained of everything positive and feeling hollow. And we really needed that spiritual healing side of New Mexico. We wanted to go drive around the countryside and see all that red earth and all that big blue sky above. We wanted to go by Georgia O'Keeffe's Ghost Ranch. We wanted to go to that church at Chumayo, which has got that holy dirt. And I just wanted to stick my entire head in that hole and rub my face in it.
Rub my face.
Oh, holy dirt.
Rub my
fix
face.
My broken head.
Rub my
oh,
face.
Oh, holy dirt.
It.
fix my broken head.
But it wasn't meant to be. Because it was winter, and as we entered New Mexico earlier in the day, there had been a little light snow coming down. But now that we're in Albuquerque, it had become heavier. Nothing serious. And if it had stayed that way, we would have been fine. But we took the turn and we went north towards Santa Fe. And as we got closer and closer, the snow got heavier. And it got to the point where turning off the highway and heading down into Santa Fe was one of the most dangerous pieces of driving I've ever had to do, because it was pure guesswork. It was whiteout conditions, and I came off the road maybe faster than I meant to. I'd been driving for hours. I was very tired. And luckily, we found the road and didn't go into some ditch. And as scared as I was, it all worked out. But now, that little adventure had burned all my energy reserves, and I had nothing left. We pulled into the hotel, checked in, went to the room, and I lay on the bed, face down, and didn't move for a long time. After a period of collapse, we all got up and realized we were really hungry. And so, given that there was a full-on blizzard outside, we didn't want to drive or walk anywhere. We had heard that they had a restaurant in the hotel, so we went into the lobby and asked if we could see the menu. And it turns out it was a Mexican restaurant. But not only that, it was a tequila bar with a long list of fancy tequilas and mezcals and all sorts of cocktails. And it was like, how did we find a tequila bar in the middle of a blizzard? And thank you, spirits of New Mexico, for leading us to this wonderful beacon of healing. We asked the employees there if we could somehow bring Hugo into the lobby so he wouldn't be alone in the room. And they said, of course, please bring him in. We'll set you up a table in front of the fireplace, the beautiful, big, roaring fireplace. And so they brought over some rocking chairs and a table, and Hugo lay at our feet. And over time, they brought us these delicious plates of food and these wonderful drinks, mezcal cocktails. And we were just sitting there in the glow of the fire, and we thought the extraordinary kindness and luck of the whole situation, these lovely people who were taking care of us, it was amazing. And we were thankful, very thankful.
sweet sunshine on my face, like when I was small. I could hear chirping birds singing while the orange and gold leaves began to fall.
It had been a long day of work at the art gallery and I was really tired. And now I was walking to the subway, and as I was getting to the top final staircase of the L train, and I was rushing down because the train was about to depart and it could really speed up my getting home time if I make that train, I start running down the stairs, and it was then when my work boot, whose sole had started coming loose just a little bit in the front just that very day, I hadn't thought much of it, but that little flappy sole caught the step and caused me to trip, which flung my entire body out into space. All 200 pounds of me was suddenly floating in this awkward ballet-esque pose with my arms flung out, my knees bent, and I was not graceful, but I was flying through the air. And while my time in midair was not long, it was a long enough time for my brain to have many thoughts. My brain split into two different voices, which started weighing the relative pros and cons of two different approaches to solving the issue we were currently all experiencing together. Now, the first voice came in with the idea that we could adopt a ball shape. If we curled into a ball, we could roll down the concrete steps and lace our fingers behind our head and possibly protect it from whatever is about to happen. Yes, we had to assume there would be broken bones and possibly some hospital stay time, but we were relatively sure, at least the voice was, that we were gonna be okay. And then the other voice made itself clear. It said, how about this?
How about if we turn our body sideways in midair, and then our feet will be in line with the steps, and then they will land and be planted on two different steps, and then we will run sideways, heading down to absorb some of the energy of our 200 pounds of dead weight falling at this crazy speed and wild angle, and I'm pretty sure it's better than the ball theory.
And while the second voice was still stuttering its way through an idea, I had to choose. So I turned my body sideways in midair. My feet somehow miraculously landed on two steps without tripping me further, and I started running frantically sideways, and it really hurt. All the joints in my body cried out as one, but I pulled it off. I survived the whole encounter with the steps, and people were staring at me, but it didn't matter. The train was still there somehow. The doors were open, so I just turned towards it and sort of started walking over, and I moved like every joint in my body was a hinge that was now moving in three different directions somehow, like all the wrong directions. I felt like a bag of broken things, stacked on top of another bag of broken things. And so I just sort of toppled my way into the train and sat down on a bench, which somehow there was a seat. And anyway, the whole thing was amazing because within a few days, I felt normal again. And there was no hospital stay. Nope. Unnecessary, thank you. Speaking of the L train, one time, my old friend Daniel, my wife Tiva, and I were on the L train at 8th Ave. We're heading back to Williamsburg. And that entire route back, we're watching this young guy shadow box around the train car. And he was trying to intimidate people. He's leaning over them. And he was working his fists and his feet so well that it was pretty clear he's probably studying boxing. And he was in really good shape. And here's the thing. I used to be a magnet for trouble. If I was in a bar and someone was looking for trouble, they would find me. And so even though this guy, this clown, was staying way down on the far end of the subway car, and I wasn't even making eye contact, I was watching him out of the side of my eye, I just knew this guy was going to come and find me, and we were going to have a problem. So the whole ride, he's trying to intimidate everybody, and he's acting out, and he's talking to himself. We get to our stop, and we get out. It's a very popular stop, so the platform's crowded. I don't know if he's getting out. I'm hoping he's staying on the train, but I'm pretty sure he's getting out because I know we're gonna have a problem. And so when we get out, there's hundreds of people swarming the platform and they're all heading towards the steps that lead up to the street. And I look down there and I can see him way down at the end, right under the steps. And he's going up the steps and I'm like, thank God there's about 150 people between me and him. And if we walk slowly, he'll get to the street and disappear before we even get to the steps. So I'm starting to feel a little relief, but I'm kind of stressed too, because I still have this feeling I can't shake that me and this guy are gonna have a problem. So we get to the bottom of the steps and I'm starting to relax even more. Maybe it's not gonna happen, maybe I'm being paranoid, but no, as we're halfway up the steps, this dude, this young guy comes running down backwards, down the steps. But not only that, he's working his fists in these boxing moves. I've never seen a performance like it. It was impressive, but I still didn't want anything to do with it. So I start hustling up the stairs faster. I don't even tell Tiva and Daniel. I'm out of there. I just start bolting and I get up there and I'm at the turnstile and I'm about to get through and it's starting to taste like freedom when suddenly right next to me appears the guy himself. And he looks at me and he goes, hey, how about you? You wanna fight?
Hey, how about you? You wanna fight?
Now, I've trained myself a while back that if I can ever confuse someone with an answer to a stupid question whenever I'm feeling like I'm in trouble or there's a potential problem, I'll say something unusual just to throw them off and buy myself some time and like maybe run away, maybe throw something at them, maybe go get a hamburger. I have no idea. Anyway, I want to buy myself some time. So when he asked me if I wanted to fight, I said, sounds boring. But that actually stopped him. He didn't know what to say to that. He'd never heard such a comeback. So I took the opportunity, and I'm not too proud to say it, to run away. I ran up the stairs, I ran around the corner, I went around a building, and I flattened myself against its wall. And as I stood there waiting for him to show up, I heard him. He arrived at the top of the steps, and he yelled into the night air, presumably shaking his fists. He yelled, "It's not gonna be boring when I kick your backside," but he didn't say backside. And anyway, he was cursing and saying all the stupid things that bullies say, and it really didn't matter anymore because I had saved myself from whatever was gonna happen, and I had changed things. And anyway, as I stood there relaxing slowly, Daniel and Tiva found me. I had to explain a little bit of what just happened. They didn't really know what was going on. And anyway, we then laughed a lot. And then we went out into the night to do the things you did back in the early 2000s in Williamsburg, Brooklyn, back when it was actually fun. And the important thing was there was not one piece of boxing that occurred the rest of the night. And never in my experience the rest of the time in Brooklyn, I didn't have to deal with any boxing. Small good things.
Rub my face. 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 Rub my face.